Hi, friends. You're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show, and this is Liz the Magellan's commentaries. I'd first like to thank James and his team at the Cosmic Switchboard for this opportunity to share my thoughts and experience with other like-minded people. I would like to give kudos to James first and foremost for all the commentaries he puts out. These are a lot of work and preparation prior to recording, and he makes it look so easy. He's a very tough act to follow. I would like to give a brief introduction to who I am. Again, I'm Liz. I go by Liz the Magellan, and I have a website, themagellan.com. I have done a couple interviews on the Cosmic Switchboard previously, and to just refresh your memory a bit more, I am a student of metaphysics, alchemy, and intuition, as well as a certified crystal healing therapist. I have been consciously honing my abilities and developing this muscle for a third of my life. I always knew there was more to life in this realm than what we were told or what we see with our eyes, and I recall feeling quite different from others because of this. But I was also filled with an innate desire throughout my entire life to discover the truth and uncover what was really going on around us. This yearning to understand more led me to dive headfirst into many years of intuitive training, in which I noticed, developed, and listened again to my intuition. And this process involved deep shadow work, listening to and comforting my inner child, understanding the various ways intuition speaks to us, and specifically understanding what it feels like when my intuition speaks to me, as well as learning to get to a place of neutrality or coherence, which I will talk about in a moment. However, all of my training only got me so far, and the rest of the distance and my experience came from first-hand practice in the real world, which included some misguided detours, such as following some New Age principles, including the Angel and Ascended Master route, finding myself repeatedly entangled in love bite situations, becoming blinded by the Be Positive mantra or the Love and Light agenda, which I discovered is really a disarming tactic, and finally coming to the deep inner standing through all of these processes that true knowledge is within, while also recognizing that there are some threads of truth in the many teachings out there. It seems that little is straightforward in this realm we live in. And we must remember, specifically with ourselves, that this is a learning process, and discernment can take time. Still, it's up to us to discover what resonates and that which does not. And as many of us have discovered, the teachings offered at times have been tainted, manipulated, and often serve a particular agenda. With that said, though, I discovered that sometimes no amount of time and practice can truly prepare a person for some of the things that I've been facing over the past year, which I'd like to speak out now. And these things that I've faced have woven together a very different picture of my life. They brought some major aha moments, and they have provided a great opportunity for me to heal, grow, shed the old, and start rebuilding myself. In the previous interviews I did with James, I discussed how I healed depression and anxiety and came to live in a more heart-based state of coherence. And by coherence, I mean being present, being neutral, and acting as an observer rather than reacting to events outside of me or even within me. Being coherent means you are in control of your energy or your frequency, and basically that nothing outside of you impacts your energy or frequency. and it does not set you off of the neutral path. If you were to envision coherence as a line, it would be a flowing up and down U-shaped line with soft U's going up and down, up and down. In this space of coherence, you are able to walk the tightrope of life, unimpacted by emotional extremes on one end of the spectrum or the other. Being in this space does not mean you don't experience these emotional highs and lows, especially as you navigate and reintegrate the shadow. But it does mean you have the wherewithal to notice or monitor when you bump out of neutrality or coherence, and that you don't spend a long period of time in high highs or low lows. You spend more time in the middle. The coherent space is often what you hear athletes talk about as being in the zone. Time is irrelevant in the zone, and you can pick up on information through your senses and intuition that you wouldn't ordinarily notice in the fast-paced world we live in. This coherent space is where we are at our best and most effective. When you are coherent, you are choosing how to play the game instead of letting the game play you. Now for a moment, I'd like to discuss how I slowly slipped out of this coherent place over about a 3-year time period, and the game started playing me again. It began with me experiencing several instances of bullying in the workplace, which deeply impacted me, so much so that the anxiety levels I had experienced previously returned with a vengeance, and so much so also that I needed to disclose them to my supervisor because I was concerned about how they were impacting my physical and mental health, and how they were impacting my ability to participate in a specific type of training session that was recurring in the workplace. This was a workplace in which I'd successfully been employed for over a decade, and there were no issues. So it was a very humbling experience for me to reach out and ask for help and support, and it put me in a really vulnerable position to say, look, I have an anxiety disorder. My immediate supervisor handled my honesty very well and was gracious and willing to help. Yet he needed to take my disclosure to the supervisor above him, the head of the company. And this company doesn't have an HR department. The supervisor above him took my honesty and concerns personally and immediately reacted instead of responding, which set upon a chain of events, almost like that when you knock over dominoes and they all go ticking down. And now for a moment to just stop and focus on that word, that the supervisor reacted. If you were to visualize reaction as a line, it would be sharp up and down angular lines like V's, not smooth and cascading like U's when one is responding. So please keep that visual in mind again when we're differentiating between responding, the U-shaped line, versus reacting, the angular V-shaped line. When we are coherent, we are responding. And when we are incoherent, we are reacting. To respond means that you are grounded in the moment. You are cool, calm, collected, and present. And again, this is that coherence in the zone state that athletes often refer to, about how they can slow time and be in that moment, fully experiencing everything around them. In this coherent space, you are unattached to any outcome, and therefore you are not impacted nor manipulated by the desire for one outcome or another. You are neutral in the moment. And in this neutral place, you are able to clearly access your intuition and true guidance. Whereas when you're reacting, you are incoherent, which means you tend to be more explosive because you are reacting from that reptilian part of the brain that responds to threats to maintain survival. And in this space, you tend to be more panicked, you don't have a clear thought, and the brains in your, you know, mind, heart, and gut are less precise and aligned together, which results in you becoming more apt to make mistakes because you are not in that intuitive zone. I had a mentor who used to say they call paramedics first responders for a reason. And then she'd elaborate, can you imagine if first responders arrived on the scene of an accident and instead of responding, they reacted? Bottom line, the people at the scene of the accident would not get the care that they need. First responders are called first responders and not first reactors for a reason. And they are a well-oiled machine who work in perfect coherence to do what is right in that moment as needed to save lives. So basically, that type of mentality, that coherence zone state, is how we must approach the situation we find ourselves in societally now. We must learn to respond more and react less, so we are guided by intuition, creativity, growth, and not impeded by the Walking Dead AI unfeeling system that is a potentiality. Fear breeds incoherence and reactions. So now back to the workplace example and the supervisor who reacted to my honesty about experiencing anxiety. Her reaction was to go the legal route, make threats, minimize my condition and my experience, blame me for not saying something sooner, etc. And I was required to get medical notes, which I did. And even with all of that, those actions weren't enough. And this process was blown into a loaded 6-month stress-impacted ordeal in which I didn't know if I'd lose a job that I loved because I was now perceived as a problem. And during this process, nothing was actually done to alleviate or respond to the initial complaint of severe anxiety. Instead, it just continued to be exacerbated due to the reactions happening around me, and then in turn, within me. Now the thing is when you have someone so incoherent around you, someone who is reacting, it can be very challenging to stay centered, grounded, neutral, and clear-minded. And again, to project that into what we're seeing around us now, we're all witness to it. It becomes an infection. Or, as Randy Moggins first termed it, I believe, a mind virus. So the supervisor turned what she perceived as being a threat back onto me. Just like a bully in a playground who picks on the kid who's having fun with their friends. And instead, she started projecting her stuff onto me. Only I wasn't able to see it at the time. I've only recently been able to see it because I was so swept up into that incoherence tornado. Had I been coherent, I possibly could have Mr. Miyagi'd it off, but I wasn't. And this workplace issue culminated in a really intense meeting in which disparaging words were used to break me down and mock me. agreements we'd made were discombobulated and changed, and I was left dizzy, confused, and no longer believing in myself or in the leadership of the workplace anymore. Because of this, I ended up back in counseling. Ashamed of my experience and my reaction to it, and questioning about how I could have ever done interviews talking about healing depression and anxiety when I was facing it again. I felt deeply confused. After all I'd done to get myself better mentally, how could I be back at square one? And that's one thing I should mention at this point, because I know many of you do a lot of inner work on yourself. And the thing is these patterns or these programs will come back to see if you'll accept them again or if they can play out if they come from this angle. So the fact that the depression and anxiety returned in some ways was a test to see if I would accept it as part of my reality or not. More on that later. So I received a PTSD diagnosis, which made a lot of sense given all I'd been through over that time period in the workplace. I oversimplified some of the details here because it's something I'm working through on multiple levels now. I began to notice patterns playing out in my life, which included a lot of bullying that I had constantly minimized as me being too sensitive. Another program. There was a betrayal of the supervisor whom I'd gotten along really well with, who handled my request well, yet didn't have the gall to stand up for me or advocate on behalf of me with the higher up. And then on top of that, I was also in severe physical pain from years and years of doing a repetitive computer job. Unfortunately, had this all been handled in a coherent fashion with a response from the high-up supervisor instead of a reaction, we could have found the middle ground sooner. A compromise would have been reached, and no egos would have clashed over the very lengthy time period that this occurred over. I also felt myself building resentment inside, and became more and more triggered with each interaction that I had with management. I am a non-confrontational person unless I'm really pushed to it. And so I amped up my inner work to further understand why I couldn't let the issue with the bully supervisor go. I went within and spoke with my inner child in a meditation. And she gave me fabulous information about what was happening and the ties it had to the initial abuse I experienced, being sexually abused at the age of 3 by 2 babysitters. So I was able to see the pattern between what was happening in the workplace in connection to this abuse at age 3. And some of the patterns that I noticed that were playing out were a lack of control, 2 against 1, no one standing up for me, not feeling heard, my feelings being minimized as too sensitive. But I could sense that there was something more happening behind the scenes, and I knew all along, deep inside of myself, that just something wasn't as it appeared. And that brings me to where I am today. The metaphorical volcano exploded, and many unpleasant, traumatic incidents began to flood my mind as my memory returned. And many of these were SRA and quite violent in nature. I didn't even know that I was asleep. All of that time for 37 years. I believed I was awake. And especially over the last decade, since I'd woken up to some of how this realm works, I can't say I understand it all. I don't think any of us can. I was working frequently with energetic tools and honing my abilities, but I literally had no idea. I remember my first mentor telling our class, "You don't know what you don't know, you don't know." Which really provides food for thought, because it is so true. And I really had no clue. So now I'm facing life with complex PTSD, unfortunately bred out of rape, trauma, mental torture, spiritual warfare, and all the other nasties, which I woke up to in November of 2019. Some of those who I thought loved me probably did not, and many have been entity infested. The level of betrayal was so deep. I've grieved what I believed was and steadied myself for more insights, which I've rapidly received over the last year. Remembering memories of this nature is traumatic in itself. But then to add on the collective trauma we are all experiencing with this virus, in which the world seemed to change overnight, I felt like I needed to adapt to this intense pressure really quickly. And I think many of us felt that way. We just instinctively knew it's game time. So I had to pay attention to becoming reactive instead of responsive, which for me meant I needed to take a time out. So I took time away from everything, off of social media, away from media and propaganda, away from those who believe this agenda, away from people who are compromised, despite how much I love them and want to be around them. I needed to take the time to go within and really get to know myself again. For all of those who witnessed the great toilet paper crisis of 2020, I'm sure we can all agree that when everyone around you is panicking, the best way to handle that is to get coherent. But for those who have experienced trauma, this can prove challenging, regardless of the work we've done to heal, to stand our ground and not get swept up in the outer nonsense. Especially with all the henny pennies out there screaming that the sky is falling on repeat, completely oblivious to other surrounding dangers. And if you haven't read the Henny Penny Kids story, you can check it out online. It's a quick read and it's worth it. I have been through what I consider a summer school crash course in navigating my own trauma while navigating this new world we are living in, where people wear masks so you can only see their eyes, just like those who abused me did, where wearing a mask myself has the potentiality of inducing a flashback to hand suffocating my nose and mouth during rape. And I do not think that that is a coincidence for people like us who have been through these sorts of things already. And sometimes the layers of work we do for ourselves can seem daunting, but each and every step does count. And so do the ones where you're not stepping forward or moving backward at all. You're standing still and letting the storm pass you by. But again, you continue to go within and become coherent and remember yourself again. This is especially important for those of us who have been traumatized, especially when it comes to regaining coherence and our ability to respond to what's happening around us again. Those of us who know trauma, and I know many listeners of the Cosmic Switchboard Show, are trauma warriors. We must not forget the intensely confusing nature of abuse in itself. The gaslighting, the blame shifting, the fear-based behaviors we are bearing witness to right now on micro and macro levels. We are also not strangers to being brushed off for what we know, for being told to shut up and not talk about what happened, don't tell anyone, no one will believe you, etc. I am recognizing a program bred out of abuse, and for me, this is the program of not being heard. A pattern that has repeated throughout my life in many more experiences than I previously recognized, and therefore, my intention in doing these commentaries is to break this pattern and start talking. I will be silent no longer. I will speak my truth and I will share with you the ways I have healed throughout this process. I don't know all the answers, and I'm not sure who actually does, especially in this mixed up state we're living in. But I do have decades of experience navigating through trauma, and now it's time to find my voice. And I will humbly restate that I am constantly learning, growing, and adapting as I go. So please bear with me as I go through this process also. In the future, my hope is to release some meditations to help you find coherence that will be available through the Cosmic Switchboard. Other meditations on grounding, and sharing techniques I've been using to get through this strange, transformative time we are living in. I also plan to talk about imagination and how real it actually is, and the power that resides there, which I feel is why it's been such a push to hijack it and why we're mocked for using it. Despite all that I've faced in my life, especially with what happened in the workplace and many of my intense life experiences, I can now say I'm grateful to have been under the workplace pressure, at least, because I have retrieved more memories that were buried for far too long and were in the initial stages of wreaking havoc on my health. Noticing these energies and how they impact our frequency is the first step in moving forward and creating a new path, which is what I feel we must do now, especially as individuals. I've learned that we all have our own journey and our own paths to follow. It's darn near impossible to change others, although we can plant seeds here and there and see if they grow. It is of utmost importance to nosce te ipsum, to know thyself, as they put on temples, which has been my goal for years in as many ways as possible, to really know who I am, so that we are able to respond rather than react. To know our weaknesses and our strengths and use this knowledge to create the new and better. sometimes really crappy things happen before you remember who you truly are. It's incidents like these that play out a pattern on repeat in our lives until we decide to confront the pattern and break it. Heroes are not born, they are made. Those of us who do this deep inner work embark on the hero's journey. And as we shift ourselves, we have a ripple effect on those who have the ears to hear and the hearts and courage to apply it. I will leave you with these thoughts for part one. And in part two, I plan to discuss spiritual bullies and the as above, so below nature of what we experience here in the physical, as I've been challenged to navigate through it during this healing process. I will also share a bit more about my experience and other techniques that have worked for me in handling the spiritual warfare that often accompanies healing from deep-seated trauma. And these things aren't often talked about in mainstream healing modalities. So I invite you to join me for part two if you'd like to know more about that. Thank you again, fellow travelers, for listening to the Magellan's commentaries on the Cosmic Switchboard Show. I'd like to invite our listeners to join us on the Cosmic Switchboards forum. It's free and is a great way for us to interact with each other as social media platforms become more and more controlled and obsolete. Thank you again to all of our valued members for your support. And if you like what we do and believe in what we do, please sign up at thecosmicswitchboard.com and become a member. I'll see you in part two. Bye for now.